Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's really good to be back in Ridgeville Corners this morning. I do want you to all know, most of you know that I'm Gary Richard and I used to live here in town, and that's all great, and I know probably most of you, but I'm wondering, because I did take a shower this morning, why you're all back there, okay? Because you're Lutherans, right? That's what we do, we sit in the back. I'm just glad you're all here. I don't care where you're sitting. We're here to worship this morning. Are there any announcements that are like really, really important that need to be made out loud this morning? Like Kathy or Diane or anybody that, nothing? Randy? Nothing? He's good to go? Read your bulletin. In mine, it's a blue page. Yeah, read that one. Oh, and you're welcome. It says, thank you, Pastor Richard. You're welcome for that. Anyway, I'm not gonna read those announcements to you. I just wanted to make sure that if there was something going on, like specifically that you needed, that you got that taken care of. I think, are there any guests here this morning? Because you're welcome. We're glad you're here. I do. I'm still glad they're here. So yeah, awesome. And with that, we're gonna stand up and we're going to sing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. So I do want to make a note real quickly that after the message, we're going to do the creed. It's the Athanasian Creed today, and we're going to do that responsibly. So just do be prepared to follow along for that when that time comes. Diane, is there anything else? That's probably the biggest note, right? I'm good. Please stand. Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips. lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father.
Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Oh, come, let us worship Him.
We now read responsively Psalm 118. Open to me the gates of righteousness,
that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me
and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray. Give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God,
and he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the festal sacrifice with cords
up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the Festival of Holy Trinity is from the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its own kind, on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens, to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let there, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. And let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm and with according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures, according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth, according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living creature that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed, and that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading today is from Acts chapter 2. Some selected verses there. Peter, standing along with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Our Holy Gospel this morning is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
I'm going to invite you to be seated now as we do read the Athanasian Creed responsibly in honor of Holy Trinity Sunday. The Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled
will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this,
that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father and Son
and of the Holy Spirit is one,
the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father, uncreated.
The Son, uncreated.
The Holy Spirit, uncreated.
The Father, infinite. The Son, infinite. The Holy Spirit, infinite.
The Father, eternal.
The Son, eternal.
The Holy Spirit, eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated
or three infinities, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created,
but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father
and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another.
None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity, is to be worshipped.
Therefore, all whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And he is man, born from the substance of his mother in his age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ.
One, however.
One took all together, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again
the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Okay, I want to invite the children up now for a little message for them. How are you guys today? You know what day it is in the church here? I mean, we've been talking about it a little bit this morning. I think you talked about it in Sunday school this morning, too. Holy Trinity? Holy Trinity Sunday? Yeah, you guys, we talked about that, right? We talked about how God is, there's one God, and yet he is three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit, who works in our lives in different ways all the time.
At our baptism, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You all baptized?
Yeah.
Not yet? No?
Yeah.
We can make that happen. I've got time. But maybe not right now. All right? So God is three persons, and yet he's one God. And so did you just listen as we did the creed? He's one God, three persons. Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God. But there aren't three gods, there's one God. It's weird because I don't even understand it really, okay? I don't get it because I know that's three persons. I know there's only one God. I only worship one God. But today in the Bible, God's word, by the way, which is always true, it tells us in here it tells us that we need to hear the praises of God and we need to give praises to God. And did you notice the opening hymn we sang today? Holy, holy, holy. Why are there three holies, do you think? So there's one holy for the Father, one holy for the Son, one holy for the Holy Spirit, and yet there's only one God, right? There's only one holy, and yet there's three holies, right? Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh. That's God's name, by the way, in the Old Testament, Yahweh. And he's the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory because he created us to give him glory. I said, did you notice in the Old Testament reading this morning? It says, let us make man in our image. That was the entire Trinity speaking right there. It said, let's make man in our image. I'm created in God's image. You're created in God's image. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So today, as we sang holy, 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 and we did that to give honor to all three persons, we always have to remember that God the Father is holy, God the Son, Jesus is holy, that the Holy Spirit is holy. So what are some of the things that we know about God? Sometimes we can call it God's nature. Like, what are the natures of God? Like, we say God is love, right? So instead of saying holy, 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 we could say love, love, love. God the Father is love. God the Son is love. God the Holy Spirit is love. Or how about perfect, perfect, perfect? God the Father is perfect. God the Son is perfect. God the Holy Spirit is perfect. Three perfects, one God. By the way, go back to what I said a minute ago. He created us in his image. He created us to be love. He created us to be perfect. God is good. The Holy Spirit is good. Jesus the Son is good. We could sing good, good, good.
It's like big holy and very small.
It's like, well, it's kind of like that, yeah. Like big holy, kind of, it's like the umbrella over all three of them, isn't it? Kind of cool. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit more about the Holy Trinity and my message here a little bit. By the way, I think if you go back, not during the sermon, okay, don't be on your cell phones during the sermon looking this up, but go back through that Athanasian Creed that we did, get your bulletin, and go through the whole thing and say, just see how many mentions there are of the Trinity in there, and the Trinity in unity, and only one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. You guys repeat after me. You guys can join along as well, okay? Would love to have that, right? So, dear Triune God.
Dear Triune God.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
We praise you today.
We praise you today.
For who you are.
For who you are.
And for what you do for us.
And for what you do for us.
We bless your name, Yahweh.
Your name,
Yahweh. You are holy, holy, holy.
You are holy, 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 holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and you have something you're going to do before we sing our next hymn, right?
Yes,
okay. I didn't write that down, so, you know.
Go ye, go ye into the world and make disciples of all the nations. Go ye, go ye. Thank you.
And now we're going to sing our hymn of the day, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 525. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the New Testament reading in Acts. That's our primary text for today, but I'd like to begin with prayer. Gracious God, on this Holy Trinity Sunday, may we look to you and trust in your word for all things. You, O Lord, have sent many blessings our way. May we acknowledge your gifts, and may we use them according to your good and gracious will. Amen. I don't know, a long time ago, I got called to be a pastor. About 20 years ago, I got called to be the pastor at Hosanna Lutheran Church in Columbia Station. And the guy that I followed's name was Von Berlin. He had served them during a vacancy. Sandy's over. It was her husband. And he got up the very first Sunday I was there, and he began the service with, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we did that pretty much every Sunday there for a long, long time. And I did switch over and do some other verses of Scripture. But I've always loved that. That was in today's psalm reading, if you were paying attention at that point, right? That was there. And today's gospel reading, the kids just sang about, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things that I have commanded you. And he ends that with that, such a, those words of comfort, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I don't know when the end of the age is going to be. I mentioned downstairs in Bible study this morning that if Jesus wants to come back this afternoon, I'm good with that. That's kind of what we're preparing for every time we come to church and every time we're gathered together, is Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. So here's my question for you, and I'm going to ask this question. Please don't raise your hand. Just know what your answer is. Did you get counseling this week? And you're probably going, is he nuts? I don't need to go to a counselor. Here's what I mean. Were you in God's Word? Were you seeking the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and direction for your life? He's the counselor, the great counselor, the one who gives us all the right answers. By the way, every right answer to every life issue that you have is in the Scriptures. You might have to spend some time there looking for it. You might need to spend some time praying about it. But all the answers that you need for life are there. And we sought God to direct our thoughts, our words, our deeds. Because isn't God awesome? I mean, truly, he answers every prayer we put up there. Now, he doesn't always answer yes, no, or with what we ask for exactly. Sometimes his answer is different than ours. He has a better answer. His answer sometimes is like a hard no to the thing we ask for. And I always think of praying for loved ones that are near death or really at a rough spot in their life. And being able to tell people, you know, when Jesus calls you home, you're perfected. You're healed, you're complete, you're back in the image of God. That's an answer to the prayer. Now, a lot of us would like to say, well, I'd really rather sit across the kitchen table from Dad. Well, you get to do that when you get to heaven. There's a big meal going on there. You'll get to be there with Mom and Dad and all those who have gone before us. And in the meantime, we wait. And we try to live the best that we can with the counsel of God, the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, the gift we receive at baptism, to keep us on a good track. Now, I've told people before that we get that gift of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us through life. And sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds like grandma's voice saying, Gary Richard, you know better than that. God, the Holy Spirit used grandma a lot. I needed it a lot. We all do. We all have somebody or something that reminds us to get back on track with where we're supposed to be. That's the Holy Spirit at work. And I've heard so many times, and boy, we're seeing it a lot in the media lately, that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Truth has somehow become something, I guess, subjective. Truth is whatever people want it to be. Truth can be skewed, and to carry it one step further, if you tell the same lie often enough, it becomes your truth. And a lot of people live by that. They don't check it out, they don't fact check. If you're on Facebook, and I am, I that's how I do communicate with some people, but man, you can just about throw away about, I would say, 80 or 90% of what's actually there as not being factual. And people take that as gospel. They take that as something they should believe. And we find ourselves doing it all the time, and Satan does this too. This is how he works, and he gets us to believe things that aren't true. He gets us to believe things about God that are not accurate. And Satan loves it when we do this. I mean, just tell yourself a couple of these things and think about what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying right now. 15 miles an hour over the speed limit is just fine. Okay, I live in Michigan. Let me tell you, 15 miles an hour would be great because they're driving like 25 and 30 over the speed limit up there. And it's not just fine if it's the law. Go ahead and run that stop sign. No one ever is at that corner. Go ahead, have sex outside of marriage. If she doesn't get pregnant,
No one will ever know. Have another beer. You don't have that far to drive. Try these new drugs, the highest grade. The boss will never miss that money. And the list goes on, and Satan works really hard on Christians especially. He says things to us like, you're baptized, go ahead and do it. You're confirmed in the Lutheran church. You don't have to go to church and hear God's word anymore. How many people have we lost to that attrition of, I'm confirmed, I don't have to go to church anymore? How many parents have told their kids, if you just get confirmed, we won't make you go to church anymore? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever seen that happen within your own family or your own community? We've got so many members at this church, and after the eighth grade confirmation, we lose about 70% of our kids within the first 2 weeks from attendance. You're married to a Christian, they'll get you saved. Can marrying a Christian woman save you or marrying a Christian man? Didn't you get enough of that Bible learning and all that memory work during Bible school and confirmation classes? Satan's lies. Things that Satan wants us to know. So where's the truth in all that stuff that I just mentioned? We often find ourselves justifying our actions and our words. I mean, if we avoid the truth long enough, it just doesn't bother us anymore. And there are people who live in that world. They just avoid the truth until it no longer matters. And in fact, many people might even agree with what I said earlier about there being no absolute truth. I hope you're not one of those, because I've got some absolute truth for you this morning. Here's some absolute truth that you can bank on this, okay? Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. God proved that Jesus was his son, and yet we don't get it. Apparently, a miracle is only a miracle if it's your miracle. Because there's a lot of them in the scriptures. Even if a man comes back from the dead, then we don't believe. We don't act like it matters. And Christ's death and resurrection is all that matters for us as Christians today. Peter went on in that passage in Acts to say, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Now, some of you, maybe all of you, think that, well, that was just Peter talking to a bunch of people a long time ago. And it was, right? That was the setting of it, in a faraway place. But he was also talking to you and I here today. It was you and me that killed Jesus, not just a band of wicked men a long time ago. And God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. When God is at your right hand, you cannot be shaken. You're going to be scared a little bit. But you can't be shaken, because God will hold on to you. He's got you every minute of the day. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of that fact. That's what Peter was talking about. We're witnesses of Christ's death and of his resurrection. Have any of you ever attended like one of those work seminars where they make you go, it's supposed to be team building and supposed to make you all feel good, and come home and you get all excited about this new plan, this new thing you learned, and you're going to put it in, we're going to set this in place. We're going to start something new here at work. I learned this at the seminar. It is so cool. And for like the first 3 days, man, you're just gung-ho about this plan. And by next Monday, just give me another cup of coffee and let's go. Right? We just forget all about that stuff. And Jesus wants us to just keep following him, to keep teaching him, to tell others about him. Go and tell, make disciples of all nations. Well, I went to one of these seminars one time, many, many years, way before I was a pastor. And they wanted us to all have a personal mission statement. It didn't have to be, it wasn't actually, it was a secular event. Have your own personal mission statement that you carry around with you for the rest of your life. I still have the piece of paper at home. It's pretty worn out because I carried it in my wallet for a long time. My personal mission statement that I developed at that meeting that time was to tell as many people about Jesus Christ as I possibly can before I die. That was way before I went to the seminary. And I applied a verse to that, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Do you have a personal mission statement to share Jesus? To be encouragement to your neighbor? To lift them up in prayer? To walk together? I heard, because I listened to things, that a couple of weeks ago, you know, you guys were really hoping to get a new full pastor, fresh out of the seminary. What a cool thing that would be. There's less pastors that came out of the seminary than there were spots to put them in. So now what? What do we do? What does Zion Ridgeville Corners do? Trust in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to keep moving you forward. Let him guide you. Let him direct you. Let him be in charge of you. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses. We are witnesses that Jesus Christ died, that he rose again, that he walks with us each day. And it's great to have a pastor leading worship. It's also great to say to your children at home, we're going to do a little family worship today. Let's sit down and read the scriptures. Let's pray. What's on your mind? I always think it's so neat. We got a grandson. I think he's 7 now. His name's Ben. And somebody will say, somebody got hurt. Ben will say, who got hurt? Let's pray for them. And then the family stops and prays for whoever that is. And he's just got that caring sense about him. When his sister falls off a bike, he's right there to see if she's okay. It's just really cool to see that in a kid. But as adults, we should have that same kind of sense of, let's pray about this. Anybody remember Irene? Because, well, you can't forget Irene, right? I'm married to her daughter, so I really can't forget her. She was a good mother-in-law. But she would come over to our house and something would be going on. She goes, I think we should pray about this. And we would pray. That was a good example of what God's talking about, what Jesus is talking about when he says, make disciples. Teach your children about Jesus. Teach your grandchildren about Jesus. Teach the neighbor kids about Jesus if they don't know Jesus. By the way, there's adults next door probably. Teach them about Jesus too. How much God loves them and wants them to be a part of his kingdom. So we thank God for that victory that Jesus won for us on the cross, that he saves us and then gives us the ability to reach out to others. Exalted to the right hand of God, this is Peter speaking again, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Peter wasn't really a preacher until he became a preacher. The Holy Spirit's a gift from Jesus. The Holy Spirit completes the work of God in our lives. You have to let the Holy Spirit kind of take over and talk to you and tell you and move you and motivate you and work you. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let all nations proclaim that Jesus is Lord. Let all nations hear the word of God. Are we telling all nations? I did find out this week, the Bible has now been translated into another language for African people. I know that in the last couple of years that the whole Bible is being translated into Haitian Creole, so the Haitian people can see the word of God in their own language. Because all they've had up until now is just regular French. And while Creole resembles French, it's not French. And the Bible is now going to be available to them in their own native tongue. So what's the next issue with that one? Well, getting them distributed and teaching them to read. Can't get into Haiti right now, at least not through Port-au-Prince. And there's so many orphans there that we can't provide care for because we can't get there. But when we go, we want to tell them about Jesus. We want to share the love of Jesus. A big thing to get to them is food. big thing to get to them is, anybody, you guys are, we've had Thrivent in this community for years. Ever do one of those action team things where you get a gift card and you can do an activity with it? They offer you t-shirts with it. Do you get the t-shirts? And then what do you do with them? Well, we put them on the shelf in the closet, or we take them to the church and stick them in the closet there. And then 10 years later, there's a stack of t-shirts on a shelf in the church that nobody knows where they came from. Get children's sizes. Give them to a mission that goes to Haiti, Guatemala, some of these third world countries. There are teenage girls in Haiti that are walking around in the city of Port-au-Prince with not a stitch of clothes on. I mean nothing. Because they have nothing. Send the t-shirts down and let them distribute them to the kids so they can at least have some modesty in their life. Okay, I'll get off that soapbox. Do love those people in Haiti, though. We have some friends that make about 4 trips to Haiti a year. They're now going in through Cap Haitien up in northern Haiti because they can still get in up there. And they also have connections down in Port-au-Prince. From Cap Haitien, they can get down there and get the t-shirts and stuff down to the folks in Haiti. They provide food for about 3 different orphanages now. So anyway, let them know that Jesus loves them. Let the people next door to you know that Jesus loves them. Let that cranky guy that yelled at you in a parking lot know that Jesus loves him. For some people, that's the only conversation they get to have all day. They might as well hear about Jesus in the middle of it. Tell the whole world what a mighty and awesome God we serve. And we can go out and share that with everyone we know. It's one of the simplest concepts. Anybody ever eat in a restaurant? The server comes. Hi, my name's Gary. I'll be your server today. Gary, we're going to pray before we eat. How can we pray for you? What's going on in your life today? Do you ever do that? You ever think about that? President Dave Bugler, remember Dave Bugler when he was the president of the Ohio District? Dave Bugler did this with a young lady on one of the trips he was on in his ministry as district president. He offered to pray with this young lady. They prayed, went on about their day, and 6 years later he went back to that same restaurant because he was traveling there again. And the owner of the restaurant came out and he goes, we remember you. There was a group of pastors there. You're the ones that prayed for my server. They said, yeah, we remember being here that day. He goes, the day you prayed with her, she was going to leave here and take her own life. He says, she's still here because you guys prayed with her. That's how much it matters, folks. Doesn't seem like a big thing, but it's a big thing. Take the time to pray with people because they all have. Everybody you meet has a prayer need. Anybody got a prayer request and nobody wants to raise their hand because they don't want anybody to know what's going on in their life? But everybody has a prayer need. Pray for them. Pray with them about it. Whatever it is. So tell the world how mighty and powerful Jesus is and how the work of the Holy Spirit changes and conforms lives. Peter's message to us today is like the one on the day of Pentecost. It carries over into Holy Trinity Sunday, right? It's a message of evangelism. It's the need to tell everyone about Jesus. And we do that, by the way, in two ways. We do that through outreach evangelism. That's where we take the good news out to others in the world. Maybe right here in Ridgeville Corners, maybe a little further out, but outreach, something that's not in my house, so to speak. But there's also an inreach evangelism, where we share the saving gospel in our own midst. There may be one of you sitting here this morning that comes to church because, well, that's what I've done for the last 80 years. Do they have something that they need prayed for? Do you know about that as a church? And are you praying for it? Ask people how they're doing. Are there people missing that regularly adorn these pews on Sunday mornings? Call them. How are you doing? How can I pray for you? How's God working in your life? I don't feel like God's working in my life right now. Well, they may not feel that way. Offer encouragement. Offer them hope. Offer them Jesus. Our gospel lesson today says, go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say, I'm in Henry County, Ohio, I can say this. It's not all blue-eyed, blonde-haired Germans in the world. There's a lot of people that need to hear the good news of Jesus. along with all of the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Germans in the world. We all need to hear about Jesus. Use your education. Teach others. He says, teach them what I've commanded you. Share the gospel through education, through calling. Peter's words, God calls us to get off our backsides and tell others about salvation through Jesus Christ. How's God working in your life? Then go share that with someone else. Stewardship. God wants us to support his work in thought, word, deed. The definition of stewardship, according to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the stewardship is the free and joyous activity of the child of God and God's family, the church, in managing all of life and life's resources for God's purposes. Is everything you do financially, any other resources you have? What are the resources we have? They always talk about stewardship is what? Time, talent, treasure. True. And then there's a fourth component of stewardship we hardly ever hear about. There's a stewardship of the gospel, which we have been entrusted to share with others. How do we dole out the gospel message to others? Stewardship. And then we want to give people hope. Peter's word on that day of Pentecost were clear. It was a message of hope for all gathered there. This Jesus who you killed died for you, so that you can have eternal life. That's the message that Peter's giving here. That's a huge amount of hope to know that I killed him and he still did it for me. So much he loves us. We're the ones that killed him, he died for us. The Holy Trinity in its fullness, it's complete. God sent us the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to protect us from harm. We'd be really wise to listen to him when he talks to us. So on this Holy Trinity Sunday, we celebrate God's gifts to us. But let's be mindful of just how the Holy Trinity works in our lives to keep us on the straight and narrow path. Those of us gathered here today, you and me, we crucified Jesus. He was an innocent man. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong, but we killed him anyway. It was our sins that he died for. It was for our lives that he rose again. And he sent the Holy Spirit to help us. So may we all get the help that we so badly need. From the very beginning of time, Jesus is. From the very beginning of time, the Holy Spirit is. So strengthened by God's Spirit, many people have been touched and motivated not to doubt or to ask what if, but to move forward. Sharing the love of Jesus with others. To move forward in ways that only God himself could actually explain. You want me to be a pastor? You want me to go talk to my neighbor? Yeah, that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want all of us to be pastors. He doesn't want all of us to, he does want all of us to talk to our neighbors and our children and our grandchildren and so on and so forth. But to move forward in those ways that only God can explain, we need to be motivated to go and make disciples. Out of people who don't yet know Jesus. You ever met anybody that doesn't know who Jesus is? Give an account for the hope you have. Yeah, Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Teach others what you've learned. Obey God in all of life. So here's what we celebrate today. We celebrate God, God in his fullness, God in his glory, God living and active in this place. He's here. He's at work in our hearts. There's no room for doubts. Is this Jesus real? Is the pastor just giving us a story, or is this a straight scoop? Are you sure he's with us right now? Because those are the kind of questions we ask. For some of you, you may have even after the call service a few weeks ago gone, really? God didn't send us a pastor? I don't understand it, folks. There's a system. I don't understand how it works. I know how it's worked on me and to me and through me, but I don't really know how the whole thing fits together. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. There's no what ifs in the kingdom of God. What if we get caught sharing Christ? Whew, what a great thing to get caught for. What if we're seen as an example of God's love? Ooh, what a great thing to get caught for. What if we simply carry out the Great Commission in this place, in this community, to fulfill what we've been commanded? What if we did that? There's the what if in the kingdom. What if we just lived as Jesus wants us to live, as the Holy Spirit guides us? So if you stop and listen, you can actually hear God speaking sometimes, sometimes in big ways and sometimes in little ways. But he speaks. And when he speaks loudly. Oh, or he might just whisper in your ear, hey, go over and ask that person how they're doing. Something's not right. And you walk over to a person and they look very distressed. Or, are you okay? Is there something I can pray for? You'll get an answer. They may tell you to go away, but you'll get an answer. And they may give you, very well give you something that you can pray with them about. Try it. What if we just did what Jesus tells us to do in the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. Baptize, teach. When you come to the altar, as you do regularly, you receive Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. You can touch him and taste him at that moment, and you can feel his presence. Jesus said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. As we come to communion, we get that reminder every time. Jesus is here. He's in this place. He's in this meal. The Holy Trinity is here to bring us joy and peace. And to him alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be the glory. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, number 940. Number 940.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy, holy, holy Lord of Sabbath, we bless your name. You have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Guard your church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Keep her in the true faith without error, schism, or compromise, until that day when you welcome her home as your spotless bride. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, as you have delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your light, help us to walk in a manner worthy of him. Bless the floor committees who prepare the work of our Synod Convention, that all they decide may be guided by your word and undertaken in prayer, and that your good and gracious will be done among us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creator God, you ordered this world according to your good and gracious will, crowning your creation with man and woman. Give us faith to cherish the holy estate of marriage, its union of husband and wife, your call to be fruitful, and the promise that you will bless what you have made. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you are over all things. We pray for nations and governments, for leaders and civil servants, and for peace and justice here in our own land, throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Lord, you promise to be with your people always, to the end of the age. Comfort those afflicted in body and or mind, soul, or spirit, especially this day, Don and Ellis, Margaret, Bernetta, Todd, Gary, Karen, Bill, Kim, Andrew and Michelle, Brandy, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Norma, Ron, Vicki, Kyle, Renee, Michelle, Diana, Jordan, the Pedigo family, Ralph, Chelsea, Ron, Soli, and Mike. Give them grace to entrust themselves into your son's loving hands and await relief according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Most High, in 6 days you created all that was made and commanded us to fill the earth and subdue it. Grant us wisdom that we may govern your creation as faithful stewards, using the earth's resources in a manner that is pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called your church from every tribe and nation. Grant that your people throughout the world would rejoice in the death and resurrection of Christ, and live as those who have died and risen with him in holy baptism. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith, and defend us from all adversaries. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn, Praise God for Whom All Blessings Flow. It's on page 805. And just so you know, today there's going to be a threefold amen. So just be just ready for that and sing, please.